and welcome to Pitch Slapping.
Hello.
Pitch Slapping is a podcast where we will develop pitches as we talk and is mostly just an homage to films and movies and media that we really enjoy.
We love films. We love to be part of films. We love to watch films. We're film guys.
We are film guys. Now, we are actually podcasting from Eisenhower Cinemas right here in beautiful Savannah, Georgia. We're at the Spotlight Theaters. They have six wonderful theaters for you to choose from, and they have a lot of exciting things, and we'll talk about that a little later on. But let's just get right into the point of the show, which is slapping pitches.
Yes, indeed. And today we're always going to have a theme
that
to our pitches. Today's theme is science fiction.
That's right, science fiction. More closely related in the science fiction field, we're looking at space.
Yes.
Yes. Not just, you know, the average ordinary science fiction that could happen when a guy finds a coin that, you know, turns out to be a giant robot.
Would be an awesome
Yeah, now that I mention it.
I want to see that.
A half dollar that turns into a killing robot.
I like it.
Yes, it's in his pocket, and then it just burrows into his skin and then takes over his nervous system.
See, now you went a different direction with it. I like that.
Yeah. Well, in any case, that is kind of how this will go. So we're going to just kick it off with a simple science fiction, space odyssey science fiction. This is Justin Kent. He's going to bring us our first pitch. Boom. Go.
Because of the slapping.
Yes.
I enjoy science fiction that actually takes place on a spaceship. There's something cool and enjoyable about just having science fiction all taking place in this confined space. It's dangerous. It's foreign to most people. And I enjoy science fiction that takes place mostly on a spaceship.
Well, there you go. So we'll start with a spaceship.
There you go.
What kind of spaceship?
Something usually if it's a spaceship that is somehow damaged, you know, I like that danger aspect.
So like Poseidon Adventure in space.
Exactly.
I like it. So you have this giant spaceship. It's been damaged somehow. They're losing oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
They're about to all freeze to death or be sucked out of a hole in the side of the ship.
Yes.
Excellent.
They're trying to do emergency repairs. There's probably an alien on board.
Yeah.
Most likely.
We'll add the alien effect, of course, because why else would the ship be so damaged?
Exactly. The alien is attacking it.
You know what I like? A good heist movie.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to create a heist movie that takes place in space, that would be cool. Because
space
you could
heist.
Use space heist. You could use all kinds of different science-y fiction things, you know, like things that open doors, things that teleport stuff. You know, a little device that makes very heavy things easy to carry. So you get a big gold statue and you put the device on
nice.
It, just carry it out.
Nice.
So I think that, you know, science fiction has not been used in that aspect of crime. Crime and science fiction, there's always been smugglers. There's always been, you know, this idea of almost a very nautical theme in space where you have smugglers and you have, like, this large entity tracking down smugglers. But what about just, like, cops, just regular police officers who are patrolling a sector of space – and they are now chasing criminals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cops and robbers in space. I don't think we've really explored that much. I mean, I can't think of things. I like Firefly, I suppose, is the closest you've got.
Yeah.
But we're really looking at a criminal element, and they're more like pirates than they are, you know, criminals per se. I mean, there were great criminal moments, and there was a heist in a hospital.
Yes.
But and the great train robbery episode was fantastic.
But that would be good to have the spaceship that is damaged would be like their getaway car.
Oh.
So the story would revolve around these criminals who had just performed this heist, or maybe it starts out by seeing the heist, and then they're trying to get away in their getaway spaceship, and then something goes horribly wrong.
What they stole turned out to be a secret weapon.
Yes.
An alien force that once introduced into an environment will destroy everything in its path.
Yeah.
Like Stitch. Right. We did kind of just pitch Stitch.
No, because it's a getaway criminal thing. And then you have this that story going on, as well as the story of your space cops trying to catch these criminals or trying to get to these
criminals. That's true. Another thing about most space shows is, listen. That is a helicopter flying overhead. It's exciting because we have budget that you wouldn't believe. We ensure that helicopters fly directly overhead.
Yeah, that is we arrange that.
Yeah. But in any case, oftentimes we end up following the criminals. We end up following the smugglers, the pirates, the brigands, because I guess in a way they're charismatic bad boy stuff is something we respond to.
Right, it's more exciting to watch that criminal aspect.
It seems like that's the case, with the exception, I guess, Star Trek. Star Trek is the actual Federation. They are the man when it comes down to it. And mm-hmm. So you have the man flying around space, policing up all kinds of, you know, ridiculous activity.
Yes.
So yeah, it's, you know, in a lot of ways, Star Trek does kind of have that police force feel to it. But they're more explorers, they're more scientists.
Yeah.
I'm talking cops. I'm talking, you know,
holster, pistol,
right.
Blaster, packing.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think you could really, if you were able to create that universe where there is such a thing as law and order and it is kept up by a working government of some type.
Yes.
You know, because usually it's like corrupt empire or corrupt, you know, system or... You know, and actually, now that we're talking about it, I guess following heroes who uphold the law versus heroes who have to go against the system,
right,
really does bring a different type of conflict to the game. You know, of course, you know what we're missing in this story?
What?
Epic space battles.
Epic space battles. Well, I mean, you're going to have, if you're having this getaway spaceship and you have your space cops, eventually you're going to have a chase scene.
It's true, but the chase scenes, you know, I'm thinking epic space battles. I'm thinking of, you know, Battle of Yavin. I'm thinking of, you know, Endor Moon. I'm thinking ships as far as the eye can see.
Right.
You know, one of my favorite moments in science fiction was when... the Enterprise and Next Generation came up upon the graveyard of ships that encountered the Borg.
Yes.
You know, the concept of something that large scale.
Right.
You know, I like the idea of telling large scale stories, but looking at the individuals involved. So maybe this criminal group,
mm-hmm.
they stole something of high value. They got damaged in a getaway. They're derelict in space, and they basically drifted into this cataclysmic space battle, this war. You know, they thought that by flying through the war zone, they would get away from the police force. But now they are just adrift in the midst of a terrible war.
Yes.
And what they've stolen is of value to both sides.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, because now you're dealing with... a lot of different variables and the ability to expand out on the picture and show us something big and crazy, but also what's going on that ship.
Yeah. Then they, you're seeing them in that moment realizing that they are in so much trouble.
Right, exactly.
And it's not just from the cops. They're just in such grave danger at that point.
Because then it comes an interesting point of jurisdiction. You start to deal with things like, can police pursue someone into a war zone? And once mm-hmm. they're in that war zone, what is their jurisdiction?
Right.
Do they have to give way to the Armada? Is the Armada like, this is under, you know, wartime law? Or is it, you know, they just keep pursuing?
Right.
Or do they turn back? Or do you have that one cop who's like, I'm not letting them get away, and he drives into the battle too?
Yes. Foolhardy, crazy, loose cannon cop.
Loose cannon cop who ends up stranded on the ship as well.
Ooh, yeah. He gets onto the ship just as they're about to go into the war zone because he's that, I'm going to get it. And then, boom, he's on the ship.
Space Dirty Harry.
Yes. Yes, we might want a better title.
We need a better title than that. Okay, so we've spun a yarn about criminals in space, mm-hmm. coming up into a battle zone where we can add all the excitement of that epic space battles, but still kind of pay attention to the characters inside the ship.
To the individual stories.
To the individual stories. What brought them there? Why are they criminals? You know, and who is this police officer? What is his life like that brings him to the point of just mad abandon,
right?
You know, running up onto these ships. So we do kind of have to start thinking about maybe a title to encapsulate it, to give us some place for it.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That's tough.
It's a lot going on to have in one title.
Yes. Yeah. We can't call it Space Heist.
No.
I'll go ahead and say that right now.
No. Actually, Space Anything.
Yeah, you can't.
I don't like it. That's one of my pet peeves in science fiction where they're like, I don't know what to call this cow from. It's a space cow.
Yes. Hate that. Yes, no. No space cows.
No, no space anything.
So what are we looking at? We're looking at criminals. We have breaking the law. We have fugitives.
Fugitives in space!
Galactic.
Fugitives,
galactic fugitives,
heist.
I don't know. I like the idea of galactic.
Mm-hmm.
Galactic has that kind of, you know.
It's that epic,
right?
Large.
It's epic. It's large.
Galactic justice.
Ooh.
Galactic justice.
Sounds like a Steven Seagal movie.
It does.
That would be an awesome Steven Seagal movie. Galactic Justice.
Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal is a space sheriff.
Yeah.
There you go.
Galactic Justice. Galactic Justice.
Working title.
Working title, Galactic Justice. Justice.
Gives us a lot of what's happening, why it's happening. I like it.
It's good.
There you go. All right, so for our next segment on Pitch Slappin', what we like to do is we like to pick a celebrity and then just start pitching towards that celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
Put that celebrity into science fiction movies.
Yes.
That is the next thing that we're going to do. Of course, we didn't come prepared with a celebrity, so we're going to name a couple of celebrities and see where that takes us. So do you have a celebrity at the top of your head?
The celebrity that is almost always on the top of my head would be Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, we need a whole show for Neil Patrick Harris. So let's put Neil Patrick Harris, we'll pin him to the corkboard.
All right.
And we'll come back to him. All right.
All right. He'd be good in some science fiction.
I know
fiction.
He'd be great in science fiction. He'd be great in everything. You literally have to stop talking about Neil Patrick Harris.
All right. All right.
I mean, at dinner, you're like, you know who would really enjoy this meal? Neil Patrick Harris.
Yes. All right. So I like the idea of bringing actors in to things that haven't been in things for a while, but that everybody knows.
Sure.
And if you're going in a space genre, you know who I'd like to see return to space?
Let's hear it.
George Takei.
George Takei would be amazing. All right, let's pitch for George Takei.
All right, George Takei. George Takei is now an older gentleman.
Yes.
So we would have to have something that includes that.
Mm-hmm.
He could be a retired space cop. He could be the charge of, he could be,
the chief.
Yes, the chief, or someone along those lines.
Yes. Although I kind of love the concept of taking a character and making them sort of the point of a quest.
Yes.
You know, I could see George Takei being a quest thing, like you must see this person to get this thing.
Right.
Because that would be an amazing place for him. It's funny because it sort of puts him in a Yoda place for me in my mind.
Oh.
You know, if he were
like
this
that.
Hermit
yes.
somewhere on a rock,
yes.
and he used to be like the most, brilliant tactician, most brilliant warrior,
yeah.
and he just left it all behind.
Right.
And so he lives on, some asteroid belt out there in space.
Yeah.
And you have to go to him to glean his wisdom.
Yes, because that, the wide old space sage.
Space sage, yes. I like the idea of Takei as a space sage. That would be awesome.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. All right, let's go up with another one.
All right. You come up with an actor now.
Oh, I'm to come up with an actor now. Well, let's see. You know, who always comes to the top of my head is Kate Micucci.
Of course. Of Kate Micucci, yes.
Kate Micucci. For those of you who do not know who Kate Micucci is, shame on you.
Shame on you.
Kate Micucci is one half of Garfunkel and Oates. Look up Garfunkel and Oates and listen and see. And
she shows up
amazing.
Everywhere.
And she shows up everywhere.
She was on Big Bang Theory recently.
That's right. She is a recurring character on Big Bang Theory now. Yeah. Not so she doesn't necessarily need the work, but I would love to pitch Kate Micucci.
She doesn't do a lot of film. I don't believe she does a lot more.
I haven't seen her as much in film as I have in television. That is true. Now, it's strange, and Kate, if you're listening, or if anybody ever plays this for you, I apologize in advance. But the way I've always described her is like a very young, sexy Dawn Knotts.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I mean, no insult by that, because I think, you know, she's amazing. I have a crush on her. I might have like a room that I built onto my house to house her. I didn't say that out loud.
It's more of a cellar.
Shh.
But anyway, yes. That's an accurate description of Kate Micucci.
And I think that, you know, if you came up with a character that was akin to like Tank Girl in space.
Ooh.
I think that, you know, this eclectic and strange renegade, she has her own ship, she's just flying around space being quirky, but secretly she's super kick-ass.
Yeah.
You know, nobody actually thinks that she is a threat, but when push comes to shove, she just annihilates things.
Yes.
You know,
very much like River Song in Serenity.
Very much like River Song.
You wouldn't assume.
Not River Song.
Not River Song.
River.
Tam, thank you.
River Song's an entirely different kick-ass woman.
Yeah, science fiction character, yes. So River, you see her and you wouldn't expect her to be so amazing and be able to take on 25 men at once, but she can.
Exactly.
And, yeah, Kate Micucci would, I can see her in a role like that.
Yeah, I think that would be funny if she were in like what seemed to be this little junker ship and she was, you know, just eking out an existence on salvage missions and things like that, you know, private salvage missions and things like that. But when push came to shove, when she salvaged the wrong thing or when she crossed paths with the wrong people, her adventure goes into a more violent place, and we learn that she was actually this amazing, you know, war veteran fighter pilot who just wipes everybody out, and then, you know, even in hand-to-hand combat, she pulls out some incredible stuff.
Yes.
Speaking of River Song, that is the sound of my phone, which I refuse to turn off because I'm an idiot.
So, yes. I could totally see her in something like that where, yeah, she's got that secret past where, you know, she may have done some sort of epic thing in a war and, saved everyone, but did it at some sort of personal cost to her and then left it all to, do this salvage.
I mean, she might even have, like, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
You know, she might just be this twitchy kind of character.
Yeah. That would seem almost comedic and fun at first, but then you would find this deeper, more intense story behind
layered it. Layered character, you know, where you're enjoying it, but then, you know, it turns on a dime.
Yeah.
I love a good, you know, twist like that.
Yeah, where you don't see it, and then you're,
right.
What?
Back at you. Come up with a celebrity, not Neil Patrick Harris.
Man. Neil, let's see. I'm going to go with Henry Winkler.
Ooh, Henry Winkler. Awesome. Fantastic.
As I said, I love people that are instantly recognizable. Also, Henry Winkler seems like one of the coolest guys ever. He
Absolutely.
Just seems like a sweet, wonderful guy.
He just had a great stint on
Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Which I imagine will continue on.
Yes.
Henry Winkler is a fantastic choice because I think he's got instant recognizability with anyone over the age of 30.
Yes.
And he's got such a great personality for anyone else. Anyone mm-hmm. who doesn't know him, if we could introduce them to him,
yes,
I think would be, you know, so happy that we did.
Yes, and he, I would like to see him play something different than what, because he again has appeared in a lot of things, and he tends to go into the sweet older man type of thing.
Sure.
Lately, and I would like to see him go in a different direction.
So maybe the general of a vicious army, a very hard character, a very cruel character.
Yes, he on Parks and Rec,
he got a little sinister
there, and I would like to see more of that from Henry Winkler. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Interesting.
There you go.
So if you came up with like a space war criminal,
ooh yeah,
you know, the concept of you know Apocalypse Now set in space.
Yes,
where he's basically got this little alcove where he rules with a merciless, you know, horrible. Yes. Regime.
Yes, and maybe he once was, you could even do flashbacks to these times where he was that sweet man.
Right.
But something right. turned him hard.
Exactly.
I like that.
That is pretty awesome. Yeah. We're coming for you, Henry Winkler.
Boom. I'm pointing to the microphone.
That's a microphone.
Rather than the camera. We're coming for you, Henry Winkler.
So I guess it is my turn.
Yes.
To come up with a celebrity.
Wait, I haven't been able to slap you.
Oh, hey, that was the pitch slap right there. For those of you who are just listening, we are smacking each other in the forehead.
Yes.
That is the pitch slap. Let's turn our eyes to the younger generation of actors, performers, people who are just up and coming.
Okay.
Let's. Oh, you know who's recently out of a franchise job? Emma Stone.
Emma Stone.
That might have been a spoiler, so I'm sorry. But Emma Stone.
Yes.
Emma Stone, who is just adorable to
she's,
the nth degree.
She's brilliant. She's mm-hmm. very, very good. And yeah, she's adorable and the kind of person that you would watch in just about anything.
Yes. I suppose that with her, you deal so much with her personality, mm-hmm. you know, this bubbly, amazing personality. So maybe if she were cold mm-hmm. and calculating, and maybe if she were in a role that was, about the deceptive quality of being, you know, a petite and beautiful,
mm-hmm.
you know, character. One of the themes that that crops up every now and then is servants, you know, mm-hmm. Robots that are built for servitude, clones that are built for servitude.
Right.
So it might be interesting to see her in a role like that, a slave class that is rising.
Right.
You know, sort of a Spartacus character.
Nice.
You know, Space Spartacus.
Spacicus.
Spacicus.
that's gold. That didn't, yeah. That's gold. You can use that.
So Emma Stone as a enslaved, you know, alien race that is under the iron grip of some horrible tyrannical regime.
Henry Winkler.
Henry Winkler.
Oh, are we missing them?
Why not? Why not?
That would be great. I would watch
and
that.
And so, basically, she has to use all of her wiles and all of her skill sets to come to the point of decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, could she cut the head off of this terrible beast and hope that the body dies? Can she, you know, basically sacrifice herself to the greater good?
Yeah.
Can she lead an army? You know, because we always see these muscle-bound guys doing their amazing speeches in front right. of throngs of people. But a lot of times that's not what happens. What happens is some unassuming person just takes the reins of a situation.
Because no one else is.
Because no one else is.
Right.
And I think that might be an interesting thing is, you know, she's some palace slave, she's some, you know, clone built for,
right.
you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And in her consciousness, even though it was never programmed in, even though it was never given to her, she realizes the difference between right and wrong.
Right.
And takes it out on the owning class.
I like it. There we go. That's your Emma Stone pitch. I like it.
All right. So, time for...
You're supposed to jump in there.
Time for
I don't know what it's time for.
How do you not know what it's time for?
I don't know. It's time for What's Up at Eisenhower Cinemas. Is that what it's time for?
No.
Well, what is it time for now?
It's time for our featured pitch of the week.
Pitch of the week.
Pitch of the week.
Yay.
You can hardly go online, especially if you are a geek or nerd.
Mm-hmm.
You can hardly go online without seeing some kind of reference to the Star Wars Episode 7.
That is true.
Star Wars Episode 7 coming up. We're very excited
mm-hmm.
that Star Wars Episode 7 is coming up, and we're very happy with the direction that it's going. We're very happy that Abrams is at the helm.
It's tentative. I am cautiously optimistic.
See, we are definitely of the generation who were burned the worst.
Yes.
By the prequels.
Yes. So I have high hopes for it. J.J. Abrams handled Star Trek beautifully.
Absolutely.
Beautifully. I couldn't see it going better than it did. First Star Trek film that J.J. Abrams did is, I have watched that movie so many times. And I love it still every time I watch it. That gives me high hopes for Star Wars, but it's still cautious.
Cautiously optimistic.
Yes.
All right. So what we decided to do was spend some time talking about Star Wars storylines or Star Wars films, television series, whatever,
mm-hmm.
that we think would really be fun to watch, things that we would love to see included in the Star Wars media push.
Yes.
We'll start with you, Justin.
We'll start with me. Well, the storyline I would like to see, honestly, is I would like to see the story of Luke... finally going over the dark side.
Yes.
I'd like to see that.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you watched the original trilogy, there were very clear indications that Luke was going to the dark side.
Yes.
Regardless of the concept of salvation, there has to be the recognition of the very things that would have put him into the dark side.
Right.
I mean, you start with the simple stuff. I think Yoda was like, if you get on that X-Wing, your journey to the dark side will, you know, begin. You know,
right.
Don't leave. And what does he do? He leaves.
He leaves.
The Emperor says, strike me down, and your journey to the dark side will be complete. He struck.
Right.
You can't, just because he missed, just because there is, you know, that does
yeah.
not change the fact that his intent was there, that he struck down. And it's like, well, it said it was complete. So, yeah, I would love to see the struggle of the dark side, because we missed a lot of that. We missed the,
right.
the idea that the dark side is very tempting, that it offers power and it is very present. It is not a philosophy as much as it is an action.
And I would like to see it, you know, supposedly Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford are on board, as well as Mark Hamill. I would like to see that descent into the dark side, but I would like to see it with Leia and Han trying to stop him, trying to talk sense into
Absolutely.
Him, trying to stop it from happening, and just kind of being helpless in watching this descent and not being able to do anything about it. I would like to see that storyline.
Well, given the amount of time that has passed, he probably should already be ensconced in the dark side. He should
Fair
already
enough.
Be whatever dark being.
Right.
So that salvation theme, that salvation
mm-hmm.
concept can be present. Right. Because if he were to follow in his father's footsteps, then his journey should be, you know, 20 years progress, 30 years
right.
progress.
Right.
What I would love to see is, we always talk about the light side and Jedi and dark side and Sith. Mm-hmm. I refuse to believe that there are only two factions
yes.
in the universe that are force friendly. I mean, if you look at, you know, just the breakup of the Baptist Church, for crying out loud, there should be more factions.
Oh, yes.
It can't just be Jedis and Sith.
No.
There should be like a group over there that are like, we're Presbyterians,
yes.
and, you know, that kind of thing. I want to see a neutral force. You know,
yes.
it's like there's light side, there's dark side, I'm more gray. 50 Shades of Gray force.
Ugh.
But something to that effect, something that kind of gives us a more rich texture.
Right.
A richer texture, not
yeah.
more rich. That's weird. A richer texture to that universe, because you're going to tell me that there's this unifying body of power and everyone agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's dark side and there's light side, and you people take care of the dark side, we'll take care of the light side. I mean,
yeah.
there has to be
yeah.
other groups. There has to be some group that is also light side, but they're like, ah, Jedis are nuts.
Yeah.
They're like, well, I'm not growing a little rat tail. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're
people who have an intense knowledge and control of the Force, but choose not to use it.
Right. Like abstinence, monks, you
yeah.
know, the kind of monastic lifestyle
yeah.
of we shun the use of the Force, even though we are incredibly powerful
yeah,
Force.
Yeah, because it is too powerful for right. one person to handle, so you shouldn't use it, even if you can.
See, that would be a fantastic storyline.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a sect of Force-powered beings that say, we do not tap into the Force, and then one, like, breaks away from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it becomes like the old television series Kung Fu.
Right.
You got a Shaolin monk wandering through the wastelands.
Right.
Well, you have this one Force-powerful person wandering through the wastelands of the Star Wars universe.
Right.
And he knows he has this Force power, but he's doing his best not to.
Right.
You know, and people recognize that he has it and try to manipulate him or do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that an examination of the faiths that must exist outside of Jedi and Sith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are we only dealing with these two?
Right.
You know, in an entire galaxy, you know, we're talking about planets upon planets upon planets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't even come up to with a single, you know, Christian doctrine that everyone can agree on.
Right.
How is it that everybody in a galaxy was like, yep, Jedis are good, Sith are bad, that's all we got.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that those kinds of things are interesting. I always wanted to see, and this might just be because I'm, you know, twisted. I've always wanted to watch IG-88.
Oh, yeah.
IG-88.
Yeah.
He was basically the Tin Man. You know, he was this long series of pipes that were
yes.
just stuck together.
Yeah.
And he was a bounty hunter. And you're like,
what
do you pay that?
Yeah.
Here's a quart of oil
yeah.
and a couple of lug nuts. Wink, wink. I mean, what do you do?
Yeah.
For IG-88, and what possible motivations? I read a book when I was younger that was a series of stories about bounty hunters. And there was an IG-88 story, and it kind of fascinated me
yeah.
that there is this, because he's ridiculously awkward looking.
Yes.
He does not look like he has the capability of doing much more than letting steam off of the top of a, you know, train.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I would like to see IG-88 or that class of robot.
Right.
Because apparently there going to be many of these robots.
Sure.
What were they designed for, and how did he break off into private sector? What was his concept there?
That's a good question. I would like to see that as well. Also, I would like to see a story examining many of the bounty hunters. I would love to see Bosch. I would love
oh,
to
yeah.
see all of them. I would love to see an examination.
Dengar, Dengar.
Yeah,
yeah.
All of them. I would like to see a storyline taking any secondary character from Star Wars and
That's
expanding
true.
On it. I would be so on board with that.
Here was something that I had come up with, which was we could have a television series, hour-long drama, that takes place in the Mos Eisley Cantina.
Nice.
So the Mos Eisley Cantina, you know, you have your staff there, and there'll be, like, the regular characters, but every now and then you just get these people just wandering through with their own stories, their own intrigue. It's like Casablanca, really. It's like, you know, this...
They almost tried to do that on that Christmas special. Because Bea Arthur was singing a song.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, the idea was there.
Right.
So, yeah, that would be a great
thing. You could just do all those secondary characters just in the cantina itself. You had, like, Wolf-Faced Person and Twins, and you've got... And we know the backstories of all these people because we were terrible nerds that got those Topps cards.
Right.
If you remember the Topps baseball cards, on the back of them, they told you all kinds of information that you were like, but that person was on screen for less than a second.
Yes.
They literally cut away,
yeah.
And now I know, you know, what happened to their parents.
So it's and with a series like that, you can bring in anyone.
Absolutely.
You create all sorts of new aliens and characters and stuff. I would like to see a stormtrooper from, you know, basic training.
Sure.
To
basic training to
shooting and missing people on the Death Star.
Yeah.
I would like to see that, you know, how that works. How do you become a stormtrooper? How does, you know.
It's one of the interesting things, too, because in conversations in the past, we've come up with the idea that stormtroopers are actually conscientious objectors.
Right.
That they don't want to be a part of an evil regime. Mm. And so it's not that they're bad aims. They're deliberately not killing people.
Missing, yeah.
You know, every now and then they have to kill Jawas. It happens. You know, they have to kill things. But for the most part, they don't want to.
Right.
You know, this was not what they signed on for. They didn't sign on to kill, you know, some guy in his pajamas running around a Death Star.
Right.
Little did they know the guy in the pajamas was going to turn around and blow the whole damn thing up.
Yes.
But I think that, stormtroopers would be cool. I remember reading a comic book that I always thought would be interesting. Right after the Battle of Yavin, right after the Death Star exploded, there were all these TIE fighter pilots.
Right.
And it's like, where are they going to go? And so a lot of them landed on Yavin.
Uh-huh.
And so they were just kind of, you know, bivouacking out in the jungle going, dude,
I don't know what to do.
Our ships don't have hyperspace capabilities. So they basically created a little clan of, you know, TIE fighter pilots. And I think that would be an amazing story.
Yeah.
You know, and the rebels who come and see them, and they're not evil. They're just guys who are like, that was my job.
Yeah, I was just working.
You guys were really, really bad for my job.
Right.
And because you get these concepts of, everybody on, you know, all stormtroopers are evil.
Yeah.
It's like, well, they're all people.
Yeah.
Because as a child, I thought they were robots.
Right.
When I was very young, I thought they were robots, which meant that I thought that they scooped out all the robotics
to put on the
armor. It did not occur to me that there were people. And later when I found out there were people, it kind of upset me because a lot of them died.
Yes.
And they died terribly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay.
All right.
I haven't been recording that on that at all.
We'll just end on the note of many stormtroopers dying horribly.
We could probably go on forever.
Yes.
We could just call this the Star Wars pitch show.
Yes.
But it's not. It's pitch slapping. We're going to be pitching all different kinds of things.
That's
next
true.
Week, we're going to do a remake. We're going to pitch remakes.
Yes.
So next week, we'll be pitching remakes all the way through. We're going to talk a little bit about Eisenhower Cinemas right now. Eisenhower Cinemas is a great little independent movie theater here, and they're bringing in really exciting things, Bollywood films, independent features that you can't see in other movie houses here in Savannah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of an exciting thing for movie buffs because a lot of times we'll see trailers or advertising for movies, documentaries, independent films, foreign films that will not come to Savannah.
No, it's traditionally something that you will not see. And
so they are making a concerted effort to bring us a lot of the movies that we're really excited about. As a matter of fact, they brought Under the Skin with Scarlett Johansson here. Mm-hmm. It's playing this week, and it is, you know, this very intense thriller starring scantily clad Scarlett Johansson, which you can't argue with, no matter how hard you try.
No, that's just fine.
So join us next week for Pitch Slapping, where we'll be slapping pitches
and each other.
All right. Thank you.